What a great day, huh? What a great day, and I appreciate you all being here. And I want you to know, I know what time it is, okay? I see that clock on that back wall. So in 2 hours, we'll wrap this up, okay? That ain't gonna happen. We're gonna keep it short, and we'll keep it sweet, and we'll keep it real. Fair? We'll get this done. I appreciate everybody being here. What a wonderful day. I mean, so many different things have gone on and happened. Hey, and hearing father, daughter, you know, it's great being a father. It's really great, because one of the things about being a father and being an athlete is, as your children grow up, you get to coach their teams, okay? Kevin, we have our son Kevin, he played baseball and basketball. I coached all his baseball teams and most of his basketball teams. Kirsten, she played basketball. I coached most of her basketball teams. Now, Marissa, she did ice skating. So I just drove her to practice and said in the bleachers, this guy does not do ice skating, okay? I'm not so good at that. Huh? Yeah, a couple of times. It was ugly, though. It was ugly, Risen. But one year I was coaching Kevin's basketball team, YMCA Summer League. Man, there's nothing better than YMCA Summer League. And we had a team together, and I had a young man on my team named Daniel. I'd never seen him before. His tall young man, long arms, kind of kid you want on your basketball team. His father, they came from Africa, and he'd never really played organized basketball. I could just look at him. I said, this guy is oozing with talent. Long arms, big hands, quick feet, good motion. I said, oh, man. But he had never played basketball before. And so I tried to work with Daniel about putting him into the game. And he didn't know what to do, you know. He didn't know how to catch a pass. He didn't know how to dribble with authority. He would kick it out of bounds. He was just sort of a non-factor. And so I made it my mission to work with Daniel. So after the game, we'd have practice. I'd work with Daniel. Next game, put him in the game. Nothing. Take him back out. Practice. Next game, still nothing. Take him back out, you know, on and on. And we got through most of the season. You know, he had all this talent and all these gifts, but he didn't know how to use them. But then one practice, I don't know what happened, but the light went on. I don't know if his mother yelled at him. I don't know if his daddy threatened him. I don't know what happened, but the light went on. And Daniel became a beast. I mean, he started playing basketball. He was a rebounding machine. He would block shots. He would dribble. He went from scoring 0 points a game to sometimes leading our team in scoring. It's like, what happened here? You know, I've never seen anything. I've seen kids get better through the year and improve and all, but I've never seen it go from being a basketball stud to being a basketball beast as fast as he transformed. Today we're talking about transformed, all right? Transformed. Say with me, transformed. Ready? Transformed. All right, what does it mean to be transformed? All right, what does it mean to be changed, transformed? See, trans means to move across, or to change radically. And form is the essence of something, the shape, the consistency of something. So transformed overall means to change the inner consistency or outer form of whatever it is that is being transformed, okay? And Paul today is talking about being transformed, because Paul himself was transformed. And he writes to the church in Rome, a letter to the Christians there, about how Jesus transforms us. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. Paul begins by writing to them. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. Okay. Paul knows human nature. He knows us human beings, that we don't change unless we have a reason to change, right? A person who has never jogged in their life will not wake up tomorrow morning and say, hey, I want to start jogging. And unless they have a reason, unless they got high readings on their cholesterol, or they don't fit quite so well into their skinny jeans, or they had a heart attack scare. But a person's not going to go from a non-jogger into a jogger unless they have some kind of overriding reason to become a jogger. And Paul talks to the Christians and to us. And he says, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's mercy who always loves us, in view of God's mercy who sent his son to die for us, in view of God's mercy who is always there to forgive us, in view of God's mercy to get up and start jogging and to transform your lives by offering your bodies as living sacrifices. Now, those two words don't fit together, do they? Living sacrifices? You know, to me, they sound like oxymorons. Everybody know what an oxymoron is? Here we go, Chinese students. New word, oxymoron. All right, oxymoron are two words that seem to be opposite, but they mean opposite things, but you put together in a sentence. That's an oxymoron, okay? An example being, all right, I'm a military guy. I can get away with this. I'm an army guy. It'd be like military intelligence. Okay, military intelligence. Okay, or like postal service. Okay, or like a honest lawyer. Or even worse of all, an adult male. Okay? Oxymorons. You put them together. They don't seem to fit. And Paul says, living sacrifices. But living means to be alive, and sacrifice is something that has died. And the Jewish people offered a lot of sacrifices of bulls, of rams, of sheep, of doves. And every time they offered a sacrifice, I guarantee you that sacrifice came out dead. Living sacrifices, they don't fit well, or do they? Because all of us are alive, and we're all sacrificing our lives for something, aren't we? You know, you all are students. Those of you who are students, man, you sacrifice your sleep. You sacrifice huge sums of money. Some of you have traveled from across the world, sacrificing your families and relationships, being back home, sacrificing just for the sake of a good education. And of others of us, we're sacrificing, we're working hard, we're putting up with personnel issues, problems, headaches, aches and pains. We're working hard just to so we could one day retire and bounce our grandchildren on our knees. You know, we are all living sacrifices, sacrificing our lives for something. And if we're going to sacrifice our lives for something, would it not be best to sacrifice it for the most incredible thing of all? For the sake of God? For Jesus and what he's done for us? And that's why Paul says to offer your body as living sacrifices pleasing to God. That is your spiritual act of worship. And this is what this looks like. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. All right? To transform means to change, to make different. To conform means to make the same. Okay? And a pattern is a way of being or existing, of something that is worthy of conforming or copying to. All right? And we all are part of our patterns of the cultures of which we come from, are we not? But Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform to your cultures. I speak English because when I was born, I said, hey, I want to speak English. I'll pick all these languages, I'll pick English. No, I speak English because I'm an American. I was born in America. You know, we speak, that's the dominant language in America, speak English. You know, some of you were born in China, and you were born in, what did you learn to speak? You learned to speak Chinese. In Russia, Gregory, what did you learn? You came into the world, you learned to speak Russian because our cultures, they conform us, they form us in how we think, how we act, how we live, what we wear, the words we use. And I see it all around us. You know, it's like this. I don't know what's going on, but recently I've seen so many beards on young men that it blows my mind. I've never seen so many beards on young, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing or a good thing. I'm just saying it's the thing. I mean, they're like everywhere. You know, all it's to be cool is to have a beard. And I don't know if this is a masculinity issue or just I don't want to shave kind of issue. But, you know, but it's a pressure. It's a pressure, you know, to conform, to wear beards. And so guess what? I'm retiring one December out of the Army, and guess what I'm going to do? Well, I'm going to do a lot of things, but one thing I'm not going to do is grow a beard, because I can handle the pressure, okay? But it's not just beards. It's the way we talk. Remember Valley Talk? Valley Talk, everybody knows what Valley Talk is? Like. Like, that is so awesome. Like, I can't believe, like, you said that. Oh, my goodness. Like. And this started coming out of California. And then it got into my kids. And there was more likes in a sentence there than there were any other, all the other words put together. Then I started saying it. It's like, this has got to stop. How we think, how we treat others, how we speak, how we live, how we talk. Paul says, do not conform any longer to the patterns, to the ways of your culture. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we try to do here in this space each and every Sunday morning. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We are out in our culture and we're being bombarded by all these signals and all these messages and all these ways of being and conform. And we walk into this area, we're creating a space and a time where we bring you in to share with you the message of God. And instead of the messages out there, we try to bring the message of God in here. And when we meet for Bible studies and Sunday school and come together, it's to transform. Because I realize that once we finish the service and we walk out of here, you're going to walk right back out into the culture that we've walked in from. And it's going to start sending in signals to us. And I've got to do my best as your pastor to make sure you're prepared. And you're ready to deal with the message that it's going to send to you. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I don't know of any more beautiful picture of the transformation that happens in a Christian's life than the action of baptism that we witnessed this morning. You know, it's a picture of a person who has been conformed to the world as they walk down in the water. This is the picture of the life of the person conformed to the world without Jesus. Then we lower them under the water and they take their life that has been conformed to the world and they take that and they bury that with Jesus. And then they're brought up out of the water, that they are in a way resurrected and transformed by Jesus. And then as they walk out of the baptistry, they walk back out into the world a new person because of Jesus. You know, the only person that has the power to transform lives and people is the one person that came out of this world into this world to change the world. And the way we change the world is as Jesus Christ changes each one of us. And then he transforms us, and then we are to go out and transform others. And then Paul says, then, after you decided to no longer be conformed, after you've been transformed by the renewing of your minds with Jesus, then you will know what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will for your life, for your future, for all that God has for you. But the only way that Jesus can transform your life is that you first are willing to give your life to Jesus. To say those first words, Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I give you my life. And once you give Jesus your life, he will transform your life that you have just given him. And you will never, ever be the same again.